That don't crank you up, your battery's dead. Amen. How about a God that knows everything, yet when it comes to His children's sins, He says, I don't remember them anymore. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. It's our text this morning. Now, Paul's letter to the Philippians is one of the most familiar letters to everybody that's a child of God that studies the Bible, because it's got so many verses in it that we learned in Sunday school, so many things that we've learned throughout our whole life. In the first chapter, the verses, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, I don't know which one I want to choose. He says, to depart and to be with Christ is far better. Can I say to depart and to be with Christ is far better this morning? But Paul says, for me to be here is more needful for you. Then chapter 2, he goes through these verses saying that Jesus humbled Himself, but now He's exalted higher than any other name in the universe. And that every name and every knee is going to bow to Him. And then we come to chapter number 3, and of course you have chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We still have a God that provides our needs this morning. We come to chapter number 3, and I found as I was studying this letter this week that these few verses that we're going to read this morning are some of my favorite verses in this letter. And we'll begin in verse number 17 in Philippians 3. So Paul's writing to this church, and in verse 17 he says this. He says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. Verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And that's where we'll stop this morning. Let the church say amen. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. God, we thank You that You've given us, and it's not a dead Word, but it's a living Word. It applies to us today so much as it did 2,000 years ago. God, I thank You that the Word of God is still able to change our lives. I thank You that the Word of God is still able to penetrate hearts. I thank You that the Word of God is still able to bring us to salvation. God, I thank You that the Word of God is still able to teach us who You are, that we might grow in the knowledge of who You are this morning. So God, I pray that You'll open our hearts. God, I pray that You will soften our hearts. God, I pray that You'll help us to receive whatever You'd have to say to us. For Your Word says that the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is a great and strong tower. So God, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts this morning. God, I pray that You'll do a work. We thank You, Lord, for all You've done. And I pray for everything that's said, that You'll be careful to get all the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You know, there was a cab driver and a preacher that had died at the same time. They came to heaven's gates together, and they come to the gates, and of course there's a man standing there giving out rewards as they get there. The taxi driver gets to go first. He gets there and the preacher's watching him get his rewards, and this taxi driver gets a crown, he gets a golden cane, and he gets a perfect white robe. And the man says, enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, here comes the preacher. He's like, well, he got that, I'm going to get some good stuff. So the preacher walks up to the gates and he tells him his name and all this, and all he hands the preacher is a white robe. And he says, now hold on. He says, I just saw that man go through and he was a cab driver and he got more than I did. He said, what's that about? The man looks at the preacher and he says, well, son, up here it's about results. He said, when you was preaching, everybody was sleeping. When he was driving, everybody was in the back praying. And if you've ever been to New York City, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because them people can drive a car, and it'll make you scared to death. But speaking of New York City, I don't know how many of you have been to New York. All right, a majority of you, so you'll know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about the cab, too. But one of the greatest memories that I have is when me and my dad went to New York City. We went in, I believe it was 2016, so it wasn't long ago. My favorite team, some of y'all ain't don't like me after this, my favorite team is the New York Yankees. My favorite player, even worse, was A-Rod. So I woke up on a Sunday morning in August, and I was scheduled to preach at my uncle's church. And I woke up and I got my phone, and my phone gave me an update that A-Rod was going to retire Friday immediately. So Friday was going to be his last game. So that kind of got me weary a little bit. As much as you know, she knows I like the Yankees. She hates them. She can't stand me watching it. But anyway, I got to thinking about that, and I went and preached. And then I came back home, and I sat on the couch with my dad. And we were watching ESPN, and I looked at him. I said, "Dad, you know how awesome it would be to be at that game Friday?" He looked at me. He said, "Why don't we go?" I said, "Well, praise God, why don't we?" So we got online. We got our two tickets. We got our two plane tickets up there for Friday morning. We was going to fly out of Greenville to go up to New York. And we flew that morning, probably about a 6, 7 o'clock flight all the way up to New York. We got off. We went to our hotel, got in the cab, all that stuff. And the game was at 7, so we went to the stadium. I had my A-Rod shirt on. Actually, outside of the stadium, they interviewed me, and they put me on the local news because I was coming from South Carolina, and I knew they could tell I was from South Carolina. But we got there, and when we walked in the stadium, if you've never been, you need to go if you like baseball. It's one of the coolest places you'll ever see. But I got to go down to the front row, and we got to see him. He was really close. He's my favorite player that I've known for I don't know how long. I hadn't known him, but I've watched him. And it was just me and my dad just sitting there. We had an awesome time together, and it's something that I'll never forget. But you know, I woke up Saturday morning. It was about 10 a.m., and I couldn't wait to come back home to South Carolina. Because in New York, I felt like a foreigner. In New York, I didn't feel like I was at home. In New York, I didn't really like it too much. Because if you've been to New York, you know you don't spend some money. If you want to eat breakfast, you better have at least 50 bucks. And you'll get two little eggs and a piece of bacon. That's it. If you want to go somewhere, you don't have to get in the back of the cab, pay some money. Or you can get on the subway and it smells. If you want to do all that, you got to spend money to do all this. When you're around the city, everybody beeps the horn at everybody. That's all you hear the whole time is people beeping the horn at everybody. If you hear a horn beep in Dallas, that means something's wrong. If you don't hear one beep in New York, that means something's wrong. When you're walking down the street in New York, if you bump into somebody, they ain't going to turn around and say sorry or excuse me. They'll just keep on walking. That's just how it is there. And it didn't feel like home to me. And I tell you, I was thankful that when I woke up on Saturday morning, I started looking around and I said, "Dad, I don't know how these people live here. I'm thankful that New York is not my home." You see, I had a good time in New York, but I was thankful it wasn't my home. Let me say this. On this earth that I live, I have a good time. I have more fun in my sleep than most people do awake. I have a great church, I've got great friends, I've got a great soon-to-be wife, and I've got a great God. But can I tell you, although I have a great time down here, I'm thankful that this place is not my home. Because this place is filled with sin, and I don't like it. This place is filled with sorrow, and I don't like that either. This place is filled with sickness to where people are in the hospital right now on their bed. This place is filled with death, and we certainly do not like that. But I'm thankful that in the place that I'm going to call home, there's no sin. There's no such thing as sorrow or sadness or depression. There's no such thing as sickness or medicine. And thank God there'll be no such thing as death. I love this life that I live down here. I have a good time with the Lord. I have a good time with my friends and with my family. But can I say this morning, I'm thankful that this place that I live is not my home. But we're going somewhere that's far better than this. Today, that's what I want to preach on, is being a citizen of heaven. Being a citizen of heaven. Paul lets us know here in these verses that we just read, although that you and I are on this earth right now, our home is not this earth. But our home is in a place the Bible calls heaven. I want you to look at verse 20, the verses that we just read. Verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven." Your King James Bible says conversation. That word can be translated into citizenship. The Bible says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." And I like verse 21. We're looking for, we're waiting for the Lord Jesus who's going to change our body that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body. There's people today that in the hospital and their body's hurting. One day, Jesus is going to change their body and give them a brand new one, not subject to hurt or pain or sickness anymore. But I want to focus on verse 20 this morning. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. I told you that Paul is writing to this group of believers in a town called Philippi. Now, they would understand verse 20 really good. Because Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. They understood what that meant. Because, see, these believers were living in a town called Philippi. But they were citizens of Rome. So even though they were living in Philippi, their citizenship was in a place far away called Rome. So they understood exactly what Paul was saying. That although we live in this place called earth, our citizenship is in a place far away called heaven. And I want you to understand that this morning. Because that's something that ought to change the way that we live. It ought to change the way that we think. It ought to change what our focus is. Because although we live on this place down here, our home is in a place far away called heaven. Just above the sun, the clouds, the moon, and the stars is a place called heaven where God is seated. And I want you to notice that verse 20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. That's a present tense. It does not say our citizenship will be in heaven when you die, does it? But Paul says our citizenship is in heaven right now. Can I tell you that you are a citizen of heaven right now if you've been born again? You do not become a citizen of heaven when you die. You become a citizen of heaven the moment you say, Jesus, come into my heart. You become a citizen right there. And the thoughts of that ought to change the way we operate on this earth. Knowing that this isn't our home. We're not going to be here very long. The Bible says our life is even but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That's all it is. And today I want to speak mainly to Christians. People who've been born again and show you what it means to be a citizen of heaven. I'll give you 3 points and then we'll go get a piece of chicken, all right? The first thing I want you to see is that you and I are residents of heaven. You and I are residents of heaven. You say, well, how in the world is heaven my home right now? I'm living right here. I want you to think back in your mind just for 1 second. I want you to think back to the day you got saved. Everybody got it? Think back to that day. Think back to that moment. There were so many things that happened that simultaneous moment that I can't take the time to tell you how many things happened. You got justified. You got your home in heaven. Your citizenship moved from hell to heaven. You became a child of the devil to a child of God. The Bible says that not only that, but you became identified with Jesus Christ. In every single way. The Bible says so much that you were baptized into Jesus Christ. In other words, you were put into Him. You were immersed with Him, covered with Him, and you were identified with Him in every single way. So when you got saved, you and I became in union with Jesus Christ. Just like when you get married. The Bible says two become one. It's the same thing that happened when you entered into a covenant with Jesus Christ. You became like Him. You became identified with Him so that the two becomes one in your relationship with Him. You say, well, what am I talking about? The same things that happened to Jesus are the same things that happened to you spiritually when you got saved. How many of you believe Jesus died? How many of you believe Jesus was buried for 3 days in a borrowed tomb? How many of you believe Jesus resurrected 3 days later? And how many of you believe 40 days later He ascended to the right hand of the Father and He's seated right now? See, those things that happened to Jesus when you got saved, those same exact things happened to you. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 3. Remember, Jesus died for us. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized or identified into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. So when we got saved, we died with Him too. Our old man died. The Bible says in verse 4, not only was He dead and we died, but He was buried, and the Bible says in verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. So Jesus died the same way we died, our old man died. Same way He was buried, so the same thing we were buried. But how many of you know Jesus got up? In the same way He resurrected, we too resurrected. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. See, when you and I got saved, our old man, our self, our flesh, it died. And that's why we have baptism. That's a picture of what happened when we got saved. When we baptize, we say we're buried with Him by baptism, but raised to walk in newness of life. That's exactly what happened to you and me spiritually when we got saved. We died with Him. The same way He died and He got up is the same way we died, and we also rose to walk in newness of life with Him. But you see, Jesus ascended into heaven also, didn't He? Can I tell you something? The same way Jesus has ascended into heaven is the same way you and I have done the very same thing spiritually. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6, the Bible says, same way He's ascended into heaven, so have we. Verse 6, and He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So He's raised us up. The same way Jesus ascended into heaven is the same way you and I have been ascended into heaven spiritually and made to sit down with Him in heavenly places. And you know what? That's one of the strongest verses in the Bible that tell me you cannot lose your salvation. Because guess what? You're already there spiritually with Him. The moment you get saved, you're already raised up to sit in heaven with Him. And you're not going to get kicked out. You're not going to get taken out. As long as Jesus is there, remember you're identified with Him. So wherever He is, there you are. As long as He's there, you're going to be there. And by the way, as long as Jesus lives, that's how long we're going to live. And that's forever. So we've become identified with Him. So therefore, if you and I have been saved by grace, we've been born again. The Bible says that not only we died, we resurrected, but we've also ascended to sit with Him in heavenly places, as your Bible tells you. So that means you and I right now are a citizen of heaven. That's what the Bible tells you. We're citizens of heaven. Now the Philippians, as I said, they were citizens of Rome, yet they were living in a place called Philippi that was far away from Rome. And I just told you, according to our Bible, that you and I are citizens of heaven. But we're in Hardin Community Baptist Church this morning. Although we're citizens of heaven, we're living in a place called earth, aren't we? And why is that? Why would God make us citizens of heaven yet leave us here on earth? And that's what I'm going to talk about just for the next few minutes and we'll be done. Because although we're citizens of heaven, we're living here. So firstly, I want you to see that we're a resident of heaven. Secondly, I want you to see that although we're citizens of heaven, we're on earth. And secondly, we are representatives of heaven. We are to be representatives of heaven. Now, if you've watched the news, especially since President Trump became our president, you've heard of the U.S. Embassy in Israel, that they want to get it moved to Jerusalem instead of Tel Aviv and make that the capital, that we acknowledge it as the capital. Whole different sermon for another day. But the U.S. Embassy, it's an interesting thing if you look at it. And I looked up the definition just so I could give it to you of what exactly it is. And the embassy is this. It's the headquarters for the U.S. government's representative serving in a foreign country. It's normally led by an ambassador who is the U.S. president's representative to that host country. So the U.S. Embassy is a place that's in a foreign country that represents our nation. And it's run by a person called an ambassador. And the ambassador is a person who the president sends over. And this ambassador doesn't talk like the people in that country. He talks like the people where he's from. This ambassador probably doesn't look like the people in that country that he's in. But he rather looks like the people where the country that he's from. That ambassador is not over there to represent Israel. That ambassador is over there to represent America and the leader that sent him over there. Isn't that interesting? Some of you might have caught on. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, you know what it says? We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. See, the same way the president sends an ambassador over to a foreign country to represent our country and to represent him and to look and talk like us is the same way our leader, our Lord Jesus Christ, has sent us into this place called earth to represent him, to look like him, to talk like him, and to do everything that we might represent him. We're ambassadors. Same way that person in Israel that's representing America right now is our ambassador to represent us, is the same way Jesus has sent Christians to this earth to represent Himself. We are ambassadors for Christ. You know, when I was, I talked about when we went to New York. When I was in New York City, people could look at me and they could tell I wasn't from there. Especially when we went to eat dinner that night. And she said, "Sir, what would you like to drink?" I said, "Y'all got sweet tea?" She said, "No, we ain't got sweet tea." She knew exactly that I wasn't from there. We got sat down at the stadium, and I sat by a guy, and we started talking. And about 5 minutes through our conversation, he turns and looks at me. He says, "You ain't from here, are you?" I said, "No, I ain't." I said, "You are from here, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah." See, he could tell by the way that I talked I wasn't from New York. I could tell by the way he talked that he was from there. And people could tell that we were different, that we weren't from there. And you know what? When people look at us Christians in this world, they ought to look at us and say, there's something different about them. When people hear us talk, they ought to say, there's something different about them than everybody else in this world. You see, Jesus has called us to stand out in this world. He hadn't called us to fit in with everybody else. You and I, as children of God, were never meant to fit in on this earth. See, David said in Psalm 119, "I'm a stranger in the earth." The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, said this in the book of Hebrews. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, I don't fit in here. I don't feel right here. This is not my home. I stand out here. I'm a stranger. I look weird here. And that's because Jesus said this: "They are not of the world, neither as I am of the world." See, even though you and I are in this world, we're called to be not of this world. We're not to look like it. We're not to talk like it, but we're called to be different. We're called to be separate. You say, well, I want to be an ambassador for Christ. See, when that ambassador goes over to a foreign country, he doesn't fit in there. You can tell by the way that he talks and by the way that he looks. See, we are ambassadors for Christ in this earth, and we're not made to fit in. We're made to stand out. You say, well, I want to be an ambassador for Christ. How do I do that? There's three greatest ways that you can stand out for Christ. In your walk, in your word, and in your work. The way that you walk, the way that you talk, and the way that you work are the three greatest ways that you can stand out. Or you can say it this way: your character, your conduct, and your conversation. Those three ways. First of all, we ought to stand out in the way that we walk. The Bible says in John 1 and 7 that Jesus is the light. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But Jesus was taken out of this world so much now that Jesus looks at us and says what? Now you are the light of the world. In other words, in this dark place called earth, you are to stand out. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He says, you're the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. He said, nobody lights a candle and puts it under a bushel and hides it, but they set it on a candlestick that it might give light to the whole house. In other words, your light is not to be hid. When you go out into this world, people ought to know who we are, that we're children of God. See, the Bible says that we ought to be different. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And you know, we don't live differently than everybody else because we think we're better or holier than everybody else. And if you do, you're not doing it the right way. Amen. Because there's a lot of people walking around saying, well, I'm better than you, that's why I don't do the things you do. That's not why. The reason we don't live like everybody else in the world is not because we think we're better than everybody else, it's because we love Jesus. And that's it. The reason we don't do the same things other people do that are in the world, other people that don't know Christ, is not because we're better, it's not because we're higher, it's not because we're holier, it's because we just love Jesus and we don't want to do it. because He tells us to be separate. So in the way that we walk, it ought to be different than everybody else's. In the way that we live, ought to be separated. But also, in the way that we talk, in our walk and in our word. When I was in college, I went my freshman year to a place, and then I transferred to another place to go play baseball. And if you've ever been in a college locker room, it's a whole lot like watching a military movie. There's going to be a lot of cussing. There's going to be a lot of words flying around that probably wouldn't fly around in church. And when we got there, I remember being in the locker room and everybody saying these words, and I wasn't particularly walking with the Lord that time in my life. And everybody, every time you went in there, you would hear all these words flying around that you wouldn't hear in church. But you know, I would always look over and I would see this boy sitting in his locker. And he never talked like everybody else did. He never said the words that everybody else did. Everybody kind of made fun of him a little bit because he didn't. He was thought of as being a weird person. Nobody really liked him. At that time, I wasn't really walking with the Lord. But you know, a year later, the Lord got a hold of my heart. He said, "You're not going the right way, and I've called you to do something else." And I didn't know what to do. I didn't have anybody to go talk to. I didn't know where to go, and I didn't know what to do. But you know, the first person that popped in my mind who I should go and talk to was that boy that sat over there and never said the words that anybody else did. You want to know why? Because I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that boy was a Christian. And I could trust that I could go and talk to him. And now, that boy is my best friend in the world. He's the youth pastor up at First Baptist Indian Trail. And you see, everybody noticed that he didn't talk like everybody else. And they noticed that in this dark world, he was being a light. And everybody knew it. They might have thought he was weird. They might have made fun of him. But you know, when something starts happening in our lives and we need somebody to go to, that's exactly the people that they go to. Because that's exactly what I did. Because I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt he was a Christian and he could help me. Now when people hear us talk, not in church, but when people hear us talk out in this world, can they tell we're Christians? Can they tell that we're different? Or do we go to our jobs and talk like everybody else? Can I say that the greatest way that you know somebody is not from this country? How? They speak a different language, don't they? And you know, the greatest way people can tell you and I are Christians are by the way that we talk. It's by the way that we communicate with other people. We shouldn't talk like everybody else. If we have a problem talking like that, let me tell you, from experience, the Lord will help you get past it. The Lord will help you remove those words from your vocabulary. And He'll help you to shine forth as a Christian. So not only in the way that we walk, but in the way that we talk also ought to stand out. But thirdly, in a way that we ought to stand out and be an ambassador for Christ, is the way that we work. You know, what changed my job? I was working at a place when I was in college. And you know what changed my attitude at my job more than anything? Is when I realized that I could work for Jesus rather than my boss. When I realized I wanted to do my job for Jesus rather than my boss. You know what the Bible says? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. See, we get discouraged when we start working for a man. And he gets all over us. You know, we ought to do our jobs for Jesus. Christians ought to be the hardest working people on the face of this earth. And you want to know why? Because most people do their jobs just for a paycheck. Just to go home and take care of their family. And that's fine, we ought to. The Bible says if you should not work, you should not eat. That's why people don't like the Bible today. But if we start doing our job for the Lord and start working hard for Him, we'll do our job a whole lot better. Because we as Christians aren't just working for a paycheck. Aren't just working to please our boss, but you and I as Christians, no matter what job you have, we're working for the Lord. And not only do we have a paycheck that's going to come in, but the Bible says if you do your job faithfully, you'll get a reward in heaven for it. And it does not matter. Listen, you don't have to be a Sunday school teacher to get rewards in heaven. You don't have to be a preacher to get rewards in heaven. If you're a nurse, if you do your job faithfully, there'll come a day where God gives you a reward for it. Where's Landon? He's back there somewhere. He works at the trash dump. If he does his job faithfully and he does it for the Lord, you know what's going to happen when he gets to heaven? He's going to say, well done. You've done exactly what I told you to do. If you're a teacher and if you do it faithfully like you're doing it to the Lord, God will give you a reward for it. You don't have to work in the church to get rewards from God. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be a preacher. But whatever occupation you are in, we ought to be the hardest working people on the face of the earth. Because we realize we're not just working for a paycheck, but one day if we do it faithfully and if we do it to the Lord, we're going to get a reward for it. And that ought to motivate us to do it for Him. See, it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter whether the Lord calls you to preach, whether you're a teacher, a nurse, whether you work at McDonald's, whether you work at Subway, no matter, it doesn't matter what you do. If you're a Christian, we do it faithfully for the Lord. And one day, if you're faithful to it, the Lord will give you a reward for it. He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. See, we're to be representatives for Christ here on this earth. The Bible says, knowing that of the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And that's in Colossians 4:24. Knowing that if you do it faithfully as to the Lord, you'll receive a reward. So you and I, see, we're citizens of heaven, we're residents of heaven, but God has put us here on this earth to be representatives of heaven also. And thirdly, and I'll be done and we'll take communion. Not only are we to be residents of heaven and representatives of heaven, I couldn't find another R. So if y'all can help me, y'all give me one. We're to be implorers of heaven. In other words, inviting people to come to our country. See, sometimes we get so mixed up in this life that we forget the main thing. One quote that I'll always remember is, don't forget to keep the main thing the main thing. You know the reason why Jesus has left us here on this earth? When we got saved, He could have easily taken us home and taken us to heaven for all of eternity, but He's left us here. Why is that? When Jesus ascended, He was standing on top of the Mount of Olives 40 days after He had resurrected, and He ascended into heaven. He kept 11 of those men down here on this earth. Why? Because there were people around this whole entire globe, millions of people, that had no idea that in that little nation of Israel, there came a man named Jesus who died on the cross and who resurrected 3 days later and who is the Son of God Himself and can give you a brand new life if you ask Him. There were people all around this world. They didn't have TV. They didn't have internet. People had no idea what had just happened in the nation of Israel. And He left His followers with one task. 11 men, He said this. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then go to the uttermost part of the earth. That's a big task for 11 people. But you know what? They began to do it. Then Paul came along. He began to go to the Western world, and he began to do it. And the gospel began to spread. Do you know the reason why Jesus has left you and I here too? The same way. To spread that message. You'd be amazed. We always talk about spreading the gospel to the world. Why don't we start in Dallas? You'd be amazed at how many people in Dallas don't know the message of Jesus. You'd be amazed at how many people on this road right here have no idea who Jesus is and that He died and rose again to save them. Because you know there's people that went down this road right now and this morning in their car. They were at the bar all night. Now they're hungover and they're going back to their home and they're saying, I'll never do that again. But you know what's going to happen next Saturday? They're going to do it again. And they're trying their best to find a way out, but they can't find it. But can I tell you, you and I have the message that has their way out. And it's Jesus Christ. I'll tell you the story and I'll be done. There was a man that I worked at the Y when I was back at home, and I was a personal trainer. I would take the people and I would basically show them how to do the machines and take them through a 6-week program. Well, there was a man that came to me. He was probably 65, 70 years old. He wanted to get on the machine, so I started taking him through. And we usually stay with him about 2 or 3 weeks. Second week, I was sitting in my office, and we were about to go work out. I knew it was time for him to come. He usually doesn't come in my office, but I just sat there. So he came in and sat down. He looked at me and he said, Justin, I know you're a Christian by the way that you talk, and you tell me you're a preacher, so I just assume you are. And he looked at me and he said, I'm not a born-again Christian. And it took me off guard. I was like, oh, Lord, what am I supposed to do now? And I kind of locked up. I didn't know what to say. And, you know, I went home and I started praying. I said, Lord, you know exactly what you're doing. I've got Jesus and He don't. And He needs Him, so you send Him my way. Every single night for 3 months, I prayed for this man, Harry, to get saved. That was his name. I prayed, God, you want to save him. I know you want to. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every single night, I said, God, it'd be awesome if you could save him. And I got to see it. Well, one night, I was thinking about it, and I said, you know, if I talk to him in the wild with 25 people around me, he's not really probably going to respond to it very well. Most of the time, you got to get people alone. So I said, Lord, if you get me alone with Harry just for 5 minutes, I said, I'll tell him exactly what the gospel is and how he can get saved. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, there's no way God's going to do this. There's no way He's going to get me just that time alone with him to tell him the gospel. Monday rolled around. I got called in to come work. I wasn't supposed to work, but I got called to come in work at 3 o'clock. And I come rolling into the parking lot, and I get out of my truck. And as soon as I step out of my truck, guess who's in the parking spot beside me getting out of his car? There he was. And my heart started going, I thought, oh Lord, you done did it again. And something had happened that week at the Y to where some guy in there had a heart attack that weekend that we talked to every day, and he had died just like that. Dropped dead. And I remember thinking, that's the perfect way. And I looked at him. I said, Harry, you know Curtis died this weekend of a heart attack. He just dropped dead just like that. I looked at him. I said, you know, if that were to happen to me, don't worry about me. I said, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'll be in heaven. And I looked at him. I said, do you know if you dropped dead today where you'd be? And he looked at me and he started to laugh because he didn't want to think about it. And I said, listen, Harry, Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus loves you. And He died to save you so that when you die, you don't have to go to that place called hell, but you can go to heaven. And you know what He did? We were walking in. I was all by myself with Him. He looked at me and He couldn't stop laughing the whole time. And He walked right in and out of my sight. And that made me madder than fire. I said, Lord, I did exactly what You told me to do. You put Him in my way. And I told Him the gospel. And then He's going to act like that. Then I started thinking. I said, you know what? When He goes home tonight and lays in His bed, although I can't go with Him, I know somebody who can. Although I can't go with Him and keep on talking to Him, say, you need to get saved, I know a God who's going to. Because if you've ever been in that position, you can't get away from it. And I don't know if He's going to get saved. I don't know where He's at. But can I tell you, God has given you and I a duty. And it's not to go to the other person and save them. That's Jesus' job. But our duty is to tell them that Jesus did die to save them. And when I walked out of that place, I washed my hands clean. I said, God, it's up to You now. And you see, that's exactly what God has called us to do. You may have a husband or a wife back home that's not saved. God's not calling you to save them. God's calling you to tell them how. And then He'll do the rest. You may have a cousin, a family, a daughter, a son that's out in the world that don't know Jesus. Your job's not to save them. Your job's to pray for them. Tell them how they can get saved. Can I tell you the way you can get saved? The only way is through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. And this morning, it don't matter what you've done. He knows it. And guess what? He already paid for it. He died to save you. You and I are called to be citizens of heaven. Musicians, you can come forth. You and I are called to be, we are already residents if we've been born again, but we're called to represent Him in every way in this life. So God, help us as we go out through this week to see other people that cross our way that don't have heaven as their home. Because the Bible tells us not everybody's going to heaven. That might be a shock. But not everybody's going. But God puts people in our way intentionally because they don't have Jesus and we do. And He wants us to tell them how they can get Him, how they can have heaven as their home. Father, we love You this morning. And we thank You, Lord, that You would send Your Son to die for us, that that one day we might have heaven as our home too. Lord, we thank You that the Bible says that where You are, there we may be also. And Lord, we look forward to that day, to where You come back for us. We look forward to that day, to where we get to spend eternity with You. But God, I pray that while we're here in this temporal world that's here today and gone tomorrow, God, I pray that You'll help us to use every second, every minute, and every hour to represent You, to honor You with our words, with our life, and with everything that we say and everything that we do. God, we thank You for being so faithful to us, for forgiving us of our every sin. Lord, I pray that if there's just one person in here who needs to be born again, Lord, I pray that they'll come down here and we'll show them how they can have heaven as their home today. Lord, we thank You for saving us, and we thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.